Good morning, your Christian Fellowship Family Church. You know, as you're all aware, how this life has been affecting all of us, this coronavirus. It's affecting our families, how we live, and employment, schools, just everything that we normally do has kind of been affected. So I just want you to know that Pastor Sherry and I, we're praying for you that you'd be strengthened and reinforced by his mighty power on your inner man by the Holy Spirit. And we just are thankful that day to day, God, the Good Shepherd, is just going to bring us through. So I thought what I'd do is talk about the big elephant in the room, quote, the crisis that we find ourselves in, actually how life has changed. And you know, in the natural, we do everything that we can. We here at YCF, we have been sanitizing this building. Our toys have been sanitized. I'm telling you, the doorknobs have been sanitized. And we're just trying to keep, you know, a clean environment. So that's kind of, that's been a little different this past week. You know, we still have grow groups, and you should call your leaders. They may do it a little bit different, but our goal is always that we gather to grow and we in the Word of God and in our fellowship and unity. So those will still be going on, but they may be done just a little bit different. And really, I just want to tell you and want you to know how much we are praying for you. And if there's any thing that we can help you in, we will do our best, but know that we are praying for you. So as always, I have a main idea, a big idea for today, as we gather a little bit differently. So if you want to write this down and make it your post-it note for the week, I think it'll be great. So write this down. God wants to shine during our worst times. God wants to shine during our worst times. And you know, for a lot of us, the worst times might be what we're walking through right now with this coronavirus. But you know, there's other worst times. It could be when the doctor sits you down and dishes out some bad news. It could be a relationship that breaks up. It could be a loss of a job. You know, really, there's all sorts of worst times, not just what we're going through these last 2 weeks. So I want to talk about what God wants to do in these times. And I can tell you, he wants to shine. He wants to shine. So what do I mean by that? God wants to show up. God wants to show up and do what only God can do, to do what you can't do. So God wants to shine. He wants to show up and do things in your life. He wants to protect you. He wants to restore you. He wants to go before you. He wants to go with you. He wants to go behind you. That's what God wants to do in these times. So again, our main idea is God wants to shine in these worst times. But, I have to say that, but there's one thing that will stop God from shining. There's one thing. And guess what it is? It's called fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear really is the opposite of trusting in God. So guys, as much as God wants to shine in our worst times, as much as God wants to show up, we have to make sure we don't allow fear to come in our lives. And boy, isn't that tough, or can be tough right now, right? Because this thing that's going on, fear is just like everywhere. And in a sense, you can't avoid it because we hear about it. You know, just watch the news. I'm telling you, I think I watched more news this week than I've watched in 2 years, all right? But listen to this. This is a good thing. I'm going to say that again. We can control the fear that tries to come in our lives. So I have a really great scripture. A lot of you already know this, and maybe you know it only in your head. And today I'm going to go over something that we need to know in our heart. And some of you are like, I never heard that one, so write it down. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. And it goes like this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Okay, let's hold on right there. So when we talk about a spirit of fear, listen to this. He's referring to our human spirit. And if you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, he has recreated you. He's made you new on the inside. You have a new spirit filled with the life of God. You're made in the image and likeness of God. So guess what? The real you, your spirit, has no fear in it. Isn't that awesome? Has no fear in it. So here's my question. Where does fear come from, or where does fear come at us from? Well, it comes at us in our minds. It comes at us in our minds. And from everything that we see, that we hear, that we imagine, it's just bombarding our minds. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So let's read the rest of that. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So what's a sound mind? Some of you might have an answer that's not quite right, but let me tell you, a sound mind does not have fear. A sound mind has no fear. So a sound mind is a mind that's trusting and believing God. That is a sound mind. So fear is not coming from God. And God doesn't want us to take hold of fear. God doesn't want us to take hold of fear. So this past week, really the past 2 weeks, we've been hearing how we should wash our hands for 20 seconds. And I just heard somebody say 30 seconds. And by the way, I'm pretty sure all your mamas told you that, right? But listen, washing your hands for 20, 30 seconds is not fear. It's just plain old good wisdom, right? On any good day. And then, we've been told to give elbow bumps instead of hugs and kisses like that. Why? We're calling it social distancing. Why? Well, number one, it's wisdom. And it's not fear to do that, okay? Today, we've closed our building. That's why you're listening online. And we're trying to help our governor out. Listen, he is walking through things that he's never had to walk through. And it's not fear to do that. It is wisdom and the love of God. So fear is what is tormenting you. Fear is what worries us. Fear is what we're afraid of. Fear is what keeps you up at night instead of sleeping peacefully. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So let me ask you this question. How can we eliminate fear from our lives? Well, I see three things in the Bible. And if we can know them and understand them, these three things will give fear no place in our life. All right. And then it releases God to do what only God can do. So God wants to shine in our worst times, and he's waiting for us to come to that place. So I want to give you three things. They're like a foundation. They're like foundations. They're three layers. And if you want your foundation to be strong, you need to understand these three things. So write this down. You can stick it on your next post-it note. Ready? Here's number one thing that we need to know and understand so God can shine and fear won't come in our lives. Here's number one. We must understand how much God loves us. Now, if I were to ask all of y'all, does God love you? I'm pretty sure every single one of you would say, of course, Pastor D. Jesus loves me, and you could sing the song, right? You would say, Jesus died for us, right? But can I tell you, as a young Christian, probably for the first 10 years of my life as a Christian walking with Jesus, I wasn't 100% sure of how much God loved me. You know, there were times that I felt like God was disappointed with me because I wasn't performing at the level I thought I should be performing at. So I kind of struggled a little bit for a while on understanding on how much he loves me. All right. So write this down. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. There Jesus is praying this prayer. And it's really cool. Go and read the whole chapter this week. It'll just, pump you up, okay? But I'm only going to read a portion of it. So here Jesus is praying. He's praying for himself, one. He's praying for his disciples. And he also says he's praying for all of them believers that would come later. So guys, that's us. We're the ones that come later, believers, okay? So God the Son is praying to God the Father, and he prays some cool, really cool things. But I want you to notice this one thing, and that will give us an understanding on how much God loves you. So listen to John chapter 17, verse 23. It goes like this. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one, so that the world will know you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. I'm telling you, that's just kind of mind-boggling sometimes. You know, you go on tilt. Because think about this. I was thinking about this at least. If Jesus would have prayed, Father, help the world, help the believers understand that you love them almost as much as you love me. You know, I was thinking about that and I thought, well, I'd kind of be okay with that. You know why? Because I would be thinking, well, wait a minute, he's Jesus, and I'm not. And I'd be thinking, he's the Son of God, and, you know, I'm a child of God, and that's still good. I know he loves me. Now, if Jesus would have prayed, Father, love them about 10 notches lower than you love me, I would have said, I get it. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God, and I'm not. But guys, no. Listen to this again. That they would understand that you love them. That's us. Put your hand on your heart and say, that's me. You love me as much as you, and Jesus is saying, as much as you love me. Okay? So Jesus said that God loves you and me as much as he loves Jesus. Guys, there's no difference. He loves you the same way he loves Jesus. Now, just think on that. So let me ask you a hypothetical question. You know, just one of my crazy little think about this. Ready? If Jesus were still alive and his ministry hadn't started and this coronavirus was there, okay? And Jesus is just the carpenter's son and he's working in his dad's business. Here's my question. Do you think God would protect Jesus? Do you think if he lost some of his business, would God help him out? Do you think that God would show up in his life? Well, I think everybody would say, absolutely. He's the Son of God, of course. Well, listen, guys, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus, all right? Now we're imagining, stay with me, we're imagining that Jesus has left his powers in heaven and he's on the earth and he has to depend on God just like we do. So here's my question. Do you think that God would help protect him from this virus? Do you think God would protect his life? The answer is sure. God would protect him, right? We'd all say that. But you and I have to understand, he loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. And get this, and he will protect you just the same way. Then that right there is the beginning of help kicking fear out of our lives. So let me give you another cool scripture about God's love. Turn over to the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, we know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe when he tells us that he loves us dearly. Okay, so do you know how much God loves you? Well, yeah, we just went over it. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus, right? But here's the question. Do you really know that? Are you really sure of that? And he's saying, I love you dearly. Did you see that? I love you dearly. Okay, let's listen to the rest of that. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living with God, and God is living in him. Okay, guys, God's very nature is love. That is who God is. That is his nature. And he loves you the same way he loves Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing. Now, we're reading in 1 John. Jump down, though, to 1 John 4. Jump down to verse 18. Jump down to verse 18. 1 John 4:18. Ready? We need to have no fear of someone. Okay, that someone is God, all right? So we need to have no fear of God who loves us perfectly. So we all know that because we read, God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. So that would be perfect love, right? That would be perfect love. Now, think about this. How easy is it for us to think, oh no, I'm not perfect. Oh no, I did this wrong yesterday. Oh no, I did this wrong today. Or maybe, oh no, God's bringing this virus on us because I'm not perfect. And listen, I have heard people say that, just horrific. My mind just yuck that God's bringing this virus as a punishment on the world. Listen up, guys. There is a judgment day, and it's coming, and I'm not denying it, all right? But we're living in what the Bible calls the age of grace. It's called the church age. And this time right now that we're living, the Bible says that God is love and his mercy, and his mercy comes upon all. It says that the sun shines on the good and the bad, and the rain falls on the good and the bad, okay? So this virus, this stuff is not of God, and we actually live on a cursed earth. And no matter what conspiracy you think you believe, did some man make this in a laboratory? I don't know, but I will tell you this, and I know this because of what we just read. It is not God, and the Bible is wanting us to understand that. And when we know and we see how much God loves us, we will never, never think that the coronavirus is here to hurt us from God. No way, no way. So we have to understand how much God loves us. He loves us as much as he loves Jesus. So guys, that's like our first layer that we've talked about. And that fear, first layer, when we get that, then fear is ready to leave our lives because God loves you. Everybody just put your hand on your heart and just say, God, you love me as much as you love Jesus. Whoa. Okay, let me give you the second one. If you're taking notes, this is your next post-it note. Ready? We must understand God's faithfulness. We must understand God's faithfulness. Now, again, as a young Christian believer in Jesus, I always felt God's faithfulness towards me was based on how faithful I was to him. Okay? And if you're like me, I never thought I prayed enough. Okay? Like you never think you do everything just perfect. And like, come on, guys, we make mistakes. So it's easy to think God can't be faithful to me because I'm not perfectly faithful to him. But guys, we got to understand God's faithfulness. And it doesn't work that way. Okay? Turn over to 2 Timothy 2:13. This is an incredible scripture. 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless, okay, that means that we are not faithful, all right? So if we are not faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown us. He cannot disown us. So let's talk about this last part, okay? When you accept Jesus to be your Savior, so I'm talking to believers, I'm talking to Christians, the Bible says you are united with Christ. You are actually one with Christ. And God sees you as he sees Jesus. He sees you one with him. So for God to disown you, he'd have to disown himself. And he's not going to do that. He can't do that. He's not going to do that. So listen to this again. If we are not faithful, God remains faithful to us. So guys, God's faithfulness doesn't depend on your performance, your perfection, or your faithfulness. Isn't that awesome? It has nothing to do with that. God's faithfulness is totally on who God is. Woo! All right, here's another cool scripture. Write this down. It's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. Ready? Here we go. But the Lord is faithful. Oh, right there. That's so good. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Now, we know now that he is faithful, even when we're not faithful. But did you notice what he does out of his faithfulness? Look at that scripture. This is what he does out of his faithfulness. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Okay, so who's the evil one? He's our enemy, all right? You all know that. And the enemy does attack our lives. He does, okay? But sometimes he doesn't do every bad thing. We can be just silly and do things, okay? But I kept reading that. Oh, praise God. God, out of his faithfulness, will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And I was looking at that, and I thought, I'm going to look that up in the Greek, the original language that it was written in. And get this. It doesn't say the or one. You know what it says? Just plain old evil. So now, read this now. But the Lord, who is faithful, he will strengthen and protect you from evil. He'll protect you from all evil. Okay? He'll protect you. That's a promise God made. He will strengthen you and protect you from evil. So, could that be the coronavirus? Yes. Could that be anything going on in your life? Yes. Could that be the impact of the coronavirus? Yes. And God is saying, I will protect you from all evil. Why? Because God is faithful, and his faithfulness isn't based on your performance or your faithfulness. Woo! Isn't that awesome? I love it. All right. Now, just think of it this way. Just think of an infant, a baby, just an infant that a mama is holding in her arms, okay? Did you ever look at that infant that the mama's holding in his arms? That infant isn't just hanging on for dear life. Oh, no, mama's going to drop me. No, they just lay there. These little infants, they just lay there so sweetly and trusting in mama, okay? God wants you to trust just like that infant. Just trust in his faithfulness. Amen? You know, I got to thinking when my kids were little, my husband Jack did this to every single one of them. When they got to be about 9 months old, he'd sit them on the counter and he'd say, jump to daddy. And they would just jump up. And then he'd sit them on top of the refrigerator. And I'm screaming, of course. I got better. I didn't do this. But he'd say, jump to daddy. And he'd take a step back. And they would just lunge forward into his arms. And guess what? They weren't in fear. They weren't worrying that daddy wasn't going to catch them. They just trusted daddy to catch them. Okay? And that's how God is with us. And that's how we need to be with God. We need to know that God's got us. Amen? And he is faithful. So, you know, I was thinking about this, God's faithfulness, and I thought of this psalm, and probably a bunch of you, all of you know this, it's Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So why don't you turn over there. Psalm 23 is written by David, and it goes like this. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So listen, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've accepted him as your Savior, guess what? God is your shepherd, okay? And David's comparing God to a shepherd who's watching over sheep. And you know what good shepherds do? They feed their sheep. They lead them. They guide them. They protect them. That's what a good shepherd is. And God is saying, I am the shepherd. I'm actually a really good shepherd, okay? So you and I have to come to a place where we recognize that. We recognize that, and we do not allow fear to stop us from letting God do what he wants to do, all right? So look at that last part. It says, I shall not want. Want means lack, okay? So when you're walking through times like this, we have to understand that God's our shepherd, and he wants to meet every lack that we might be dealing with. He wants to help us in every way possible. He wants to do that. So would you all jump down to verse 4. So we're at Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So rod and staff are a type of what the Bible and the promises of God are, and they comfort us when you know them. And we'll talk more about that. But listen to the part that says, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you guys know that's actually a literal place? Yeah, it's actually a place in Israel. And King David, before he was king, when he was a shepherd boy over his dad's flocks, he would go through that valley that's still there today, guys. So it's a valley. And then it's a place that becomes really narrow, about 10 feet wide. And it goes for about a long ways, okay? And as you're going through this narrow part of valley, there's these mountains on both sides. They actually feel like, and they are, actually walls about 800 feet high. Just, okay? And you could be walking through that narrow part in the middle of high noon daytime, and it would become dark because of those mountain walls, okay? And here's the biggest problem with that. Ready? There are little caves tucked in the walls of the mountain, okay? And guess who was hiding in those caves, right? Thieves and predators, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh no, okay? And that's what David was talking about. And he was, and guys, when we walk through things that want to grab us and get us and take us down, we need to know what the shepherd David did. And this is what he knew. He knew someone could be hiding and jump out and knock him down and steal his sheep. He knew someone could, a lion could be there to grab hold of his sheep. And he understood all that, but this is what he was saying about God. This is what he was saying about God, that he would take care of him, all right? So here's my question. It might make you feel a little uncomfortable. Ready? What is your valley of the shadow of death? What is your valley of the shadow of death? It could be walking through this time with the coronavirus. It could be anything that's going on in your life that's negative. So listen to that again. Even though I walk through, get it, guys? We're going through the valley of the shadow of death, the coronavirus or whatever, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? How could I say that? Because I know how much God loves me, right? And I know that my God is faithful. And here's what David knew. He knew that God was with him, okay? And guys, I want to tell you, God is with you right now. God is with you right now. No matter what you're going on around you, God is with you. And not only is God with you, which right there is be so cool. Listen how he finishes the rest of the Psalms. Jump down to verse six. Surely, Psalm 23, verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, that's talking about going to heaven. Okay, aren't you excited about that promise? Right? Now, I'm not ready to go, and I'm pretty sure you're not ready to go. But we know that when we go, we're going to dwell with him forever. And that's really cool. But notice what he promises to do while we're on here, while we're still on the planet. Listen to this. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Y'all got to say that. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So as you and I walk through this life, God has these two things that are behind you, right? And it's not like some creepy stalker guy, okay? It's goodness, it's mercy, and they're following you. And they want to grab you and minister life to you, okay? But if we're in fear and we're speaking all sorts of fearful things, you end up by pushing goodness and mercy away, back, okay? But listen, God wants us to trust him in him, have no fear. He wants us to take this psalm and he wants us to speak it over our lives. So let me ask you this. What is goodness? Good question. What is goodness? Well, it's anything good that you need. Right? God says, I have goodness trailing behind you and it wants to come into your life. And no matter what you want, you're going through right now or what's coming down the road, it wants to grab hold of you. Goodness, good things for your life. Okay. And then I love mercy. I love mercy. And mercy has like two things to it. I've used both of them. Ready? Here. Like it's when we blow it. We just do something dumb and we're in trouble because of what we did. And mercy is God coming in and cleaning up your mess and restoring you. How many of you like that mercy? How many of you have used that mercy? I have. Okay, but mercy's also like the circumstances in the world, like what we've got going on right now, this coronavirus. And we're walking through a little bit of tough times, okay? And God's like, hey, I got mercy following you. No matter what happens to you, it's going to come. Mercy's going to come and clean you up and restore you. So aren't these beautiful psalms about God's faithfulness? And go read through Psalms. There's just tons of that. They'll just, whoo, just lift you up, okay, and knock fear out. But listen, guys, we have to understand God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. God is faithful even when we're not faithful, and he's faithful to protect us and guard us. Praise God. So that's another one of our foundations. And when you get that one on top of the first one, we become stronger, and it's going to help us push fear out of our life. So here's the last one, number three. Ready? We must know God's promises. Write that down. That's your third post-it note or fourth one. We must know God's promises. Guys, you have to know what he has promised. So let me tell you a story. Years ago, I was kind of going through a crisis. Yeah, and I had this longtime friend who's really had really become a mentor to me. And I was going to her, wah, 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 my life's a mess. Wah, 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 my life's hard. Wah, wah, wah. And she just grabbed hold of me and she said, Dee, what are you expecting God to do? And I'm like, wah, 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 don't you know my life's a mess? And she said, Dee, what promises are you standing on? And I don't know, my life's a mess, dude. Wah, wah, wah. And then she said real loud, and she says, you go home and you go dig in your Bible and you look for the promises that address your situation. And then you come back and see me. So guess what I did, all right? And then I came back and she said, now we can go to God. Now we're going to agree with God's word. Now we're going to believe God for what only God can do and he's promised you to do, okay? So that's all that God's saying here. God's saying to all of us, we have to know and understand his promises. So here's a cool scripture. Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 105. Psalm 119, 105. And it goes like this. Your words are a flashlight to the path ahead of me. So guys, that's the Bible. That's where the promises are found, okay? It's not on Netflix, all right? So your words are a flashlight to the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. I like that, all right? So guys, if you can find, you and I can find the promises of God, whatever he's promised us, and we can stand on them, and then it says we're not going to stumble. Even though we're walking through hard times, we're not going to fall down and not get up. So whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life, whatever is impacting your life, God says, you will not stumble. Praise God. So here's my question. This is pandemic. It's a crisis. So my question is, what does God want Christians to do? What does God want you and I to walk through in this crisis? Or I should say, how? How does God want you? How does God want you to walk through this, okay? Well, number one, he wants to shine. That's what God wants to do. He wants to shine in your worst times. And he wants us to grab hold of the promises. So I got thinking about what would be the best promise for what's going on presently, this coronavirus crisis here. and other things. And of course, I came up with Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, I have hid this in my heart and read this many times. And a lot of you know this, but it's one thing to know it in your head. It's the other thing to have it in your heart. So we're going to read through a couple of these verses in Psalm 91. And I just encourage you through the next couple of weeks. This should be just a part of your everyday. But here we go. Psalm 91, verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. That means spend the night, guys. Spend the night. And it's dealing when things get dark. And you could say the circumstances look a little dark, okay? So whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. So let's break this down a little bit, because there's meat on the bones, baby. There's meat on the bones. Let's take it apart. So here's what God saying. He wants you to be in the shelter. He wants to be in your life, the shelter, all right? So when you accept Jesus, guess what? He's given you the right to be in His shelter. Jesus gave you access to be in the shelter of God. That is so cool. And then let's look at verse 2 again. Verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So, here we go. What are you saying, guys? What are you saying? Are you speaking His promises over your life? Because if you're not, you've got fear camping out. But when you speak the promises, it'll push that fear out. Praise God. Now, if you don't know how much God loves you, and He loves you as much as He loves Jesus. If you don't know that God is faithful even when you're not, and He wants to, and God will faithfully protect you and guard you, that if you don't know those two things, then you won't be able to connect with this promise, all right? It'll just be like winging over your head. So here we go again. What are you saying out of your mouth? Okay, you and I need to boldly say really loud, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. And I trust in my fortress. I trust in my God. Amen. So when you understand that, fear is going to go. And you know what else He does? It releases God to shine in these crazy times. It releases God to do what only God can do. Isn't that cool? Now, jump over to the next verse, verse 3. Verse 3, Psalm 91, we're still at Psalm 91, verse 3. He says, surely He will save you from the fowler's snares. Okay, so that is what the traps that men set for us that try to knock you down, all right? So He'll save you from that and from the deadly pestilence. So, a pestilence, do you think that could include the coronavirus? I think, okay? And notice what God says. He says, I will save you from it. Woo! Okay, so God wants to protect you during these times like we got going on. So listen to verse 4. Verse 4. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Okay, rampart's not a word I use every day in talking to people. So what is that? Well, it's a big wall that would be around a castle to keep the enemy out, right? So it's a big wall that keeps the enemy out. And of course, you know what a shield is, right? But I like that image of this big mother hen who puts her wings out over her chicks and she's protecting them. Can you see that? And you know what God is saying? I want to cover you from head to toe and around you and protect you. That's what the promise is, all right? And you and I want to believe the promises, and then we release God to do what only God can do. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that good? So jump down to verse 7. Verse 7, ready? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but here's where it gets good. But it will not come near you. Isn't that amazing? That's a promise from God himself to us, all right? I've heard this, I've actually read this, and then I've had three people tell me this, and I thought it's worth repeating. But Charles Spurgeon, he's gone on to be with Jesus. He was a powerful minister of the gospel preacher. He was just powerful, okay? And he tells a story about a cholera breakout back in the 1800s, okay? And cholera was just wiping out millions of people in Europe. And Charles tells a story about a German shoemaker. And this guy was a believer, right? And he was reading his Bible. And he found this promise, right? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. All right? Now, everybody in the village is scared because this cholera is just wiping out millions in the countries surrounding them and in their country. Okay? But guess what this guy did? He took that promise, he wrote it down, and he stuck it on his window. Right? And you know, guess what happened? That cholera plague never came on him, his wife, and his kids. And unfortunately, people around him in his village were dying, but it never came upon him. And actually, it says his business prospered. Okay? Now, I think cholera with the millions of people dying was way worse than what we're going through. But guys, this is a promise from heaven, from God to us, for every single one of us. So let me read that again. Let's jump down to verse 11. That'll be our last scripture. Psalm 91, verse 11. For he will command, God will command his angels concerning who? You. God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Now, there's a couple things in there. Look at the word angels. It's plural. Okay? And the Bible says there are so many angels, you can't number them. Like trillions, okay? That's why you read God's heavenly host of armies appeared in the sky, okay? And then typically we just think, oh, I have a guardian angel, one. Okay? No. God's got tons of angels, and he is commanding them to be around you. He is commanding his angels to surround you. So let's wrap this up and review. In order for us to stand and not have any fear and to walk through these tough times like we're going through right now, okay, there's three things we have to understand. And not just our head, I'm telling you, but just understand in your heart. We have to understand how much God loves you. And God loves you the same as he loves Jesus, all right? And it's not on your performance. And we have to the second foundation, we have to understand that God, how faithful God is. And he's faithful when we are not. Isn't that cool? He's faithful to be a shield around you. He's faithful to guard you. That's who God is. He's faithful. That's what he does. And then, this is the part that we have. And then we have to find these beautiful promises. They're all throughout the Bible, okay? And we have to stand, so to speak, on these promises of God. So right now, I want to pray for everyone listening, and I want to release these things that we just talked about. But before I do, maybe somebody grabbed you and you're listening to this, and you're listening and you're not even sure of what your eternity is. Maybe you're listening and you don't even know if you have a relationship with God. Well, listen, guys, Jesus said, I died for your sins and the sins of the world. And he said, whoever calls on me, I would save them and give them life, that abundant life, okay? So right now I'm asking everyone, can you remember a day when you said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the only way to heaven. I believe you and I accept you into my life. Okay. Now, when you do that, guess what? God puts you in his shelter. All right. God becomes your good shepherd. And listen, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you in my life. It's just so wonderful. So if that's you, someone can't make you do this. But if that's you and you're ready right now, would you just say this after me? Say, Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And I repent of all my sins, and I look to your answer, Jesus. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me, for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead and you're seated in heaven. Praise God. And this day, I accept you, Jesus, into my life. I accept you as my Savior and I call you my Lord. And therefore, I will follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, a miracle took place. It's just, you're now a child of God. It's just so wonderful. So if you prayed that prayer, you know, let us know. You can type in online at ycf.com or you can call the office. And we want to get a Bible to you and just encourage you because you are now a child of God. Now, you know what I want to do the rest of you guys here? I want to first, let's pray for our nation and our leaders. Ready? So we're going to come together in the spirit. I mean, we're not all gathered together in the building. You're all in your homes, but there's no distance in the spirit of God. So we're coming together in the spirit, and we pray right now. Father, we pray for our president. We ask you continue to flood him with wisdom on the exact things he needs to do for our nation. We ask that you give him counsel, the medical counsel, the research counsel. Just give all of them more wisdom. And Lord, we ask for our Congress and Senate for wisdom, supernatural wisdom, how to help our nation during this time. It's something we've never had to walk through. And we ask you to give our governor wisdom for all that he needs to do, wisdom to help our communities. And we thank you for showing us how to shine our lights. Amen. Now, that was praying for our government and our leaders. Now I want to pray for you. Okay, now we saw some amazing scriptures, like God wants to put a shield around you and protect you. God has angels that he commands to go around you. God has mercy and goodness that are trailing behind you. And he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And he is faithful, even when we're not faithful. And he has promises in his word for times like this, times of pestilence. And that's some exciting stuff. But maybe you're sitting here and you go, yeah, I heard that, Pastor, but I'm still dealing with this fear. Okay, well, I want to pray for you first, all right? I want to pray, and then I want to pray for God's blessing and his protection for all of us, okay? So can we pray right now? If you're with other members of your family or your friends, just get quiet right now. We're all going to pray together. Father, we pray for anyone who is gripped by fear, and we break that fear. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go, and we ask that you would open their eyes to see how much you love them, how faithful you are towards them, and these incredible promises. Lord, we pray for everybody now that you put a shield around them. We pray your blessings saturate your people. Father, we pray that that we look to your answers in these uncertain times. And Father, we thank you that you meet all of our financial needs. You do what we cannot do, and you shine in everyone's lives. And if you can all agree with that, just shout amen wherever you are. I can't see you, but I know we have agreed and God is moving on our behalf. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in, and just keep standing and finding those promises, and we'll see what happens next week if we're online or if the building is open. Y'all have a wonderful day. Amen.